conference, which is Jesus. You've got to answer it that way. Because if you don't, you're trusting it to something else, and it is not Christianity. It is not Christianity. Let me close this. Who is this Jesus to you? His contemporaries asked the question, who do you make yourself to be? Now I want to just put this, I want to put the monkey back on our backs. Who is Jesus to me?
Now that's the big idea of the message. Because now, here I said, now let me close. And I will admit, as a preacher, I've always had difficulty in closing because the Holy Spirit is constantly, I had on my outline, now let me close, conclusion. But just because you have it typed on your outline doesn't necessarily mean that God is finished using you preaching. Now, you may say, well, my goodness, this webcast has been going on for so long, John. If you're looking at the time that it's taken and how many clips you have to listen to all of this, you miss the whole point. I'm not in a hurry. Let me just give it to you like this, all right? As I even get down to the conclusion. And I like what the... Did you notice what I did in the conclusion of this? The conclusion is, in actuality, the big idea throughout the whole message. The question rings loud and clear throughout the whole of the message. Homiletical student, who is this Jesus? Keep that question before the people. You get the big idea. Keep that question running before the people for the entire hour. And in this case, I think I preached about an hour. Now my preaching length is about an hour and 35 minutes. I am trying to narrow it down to 90 minutes, but it is impossible. And I have my associate pastor, Sean Nelson, who is just as bad as I am. We get up and start preaching at 10:30, and we're about over at 12:15, okay, in our services. And it's all word because we don't have a praise team. We don't have a choir. Nobody's singing. And if we do sing, I sing maybe a couple of verses of an old hymn or something like that. And Al, our musician, plays it on an upbeat piano. He got this upbeat kind of a organ thing that he plays, and it is really cool because he's working on some new melodies. And I get into the church and he says, okay, pastor, we're going to do this morning. And I kind of look at him and say, you all right? But we have a good time. But I said, let me close. So let me see if I can close. Follow along.
Who is he to you? Now, you don't answer that while you're here. You answer that when you get out of here. You answer that how you live. You don't answer me, oh, Jesus is my all in all. I love him. I hear his call. In these walls, that's easy to talk. But outside in the streets, I want to look at you walk. That rhymes, huh? What is Jesus to you? It is not enough to leave this question with the Pharisees. Who do you make yourself out to be? Who is he to you? Does he influence you when you're around your buddies? Does he influence you when you're around your neighbors? Does he influence you when you're with other Christians from other churches that have other ideas about Jesus? Does he influence you when you are corrected by the book? I've got to answer this question today, church. Because if we're going to continue this series, what is the basis of your belief? It starts with Jesus and what he is to you. And if he is nothing to you, surely the rest of the series means nothing to you. What does Jesus mean to you? Are you alarmed when you think of his greatness? Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Does that alarm you? Or do you laugh it off and say, I don't believe that. Mean all power. We have nuclear arms here. What does he mean, all power? Are you afraid when you think of his supremacy? He is before all things. He never had a beginning. He will never have an ending. He knows what you're going to think tomorrow night at 10:30 before you think it. He knows the next sinful act that you will commit. Amen. Now. Amen. I'm telling you. Now you can sit here and say, you know, I don't like this. You know, Jesus. Yes, absolutely, Jesus. He is the one. Have you ever heard people say, Jesus Christ, why doesn't he stop? No, he will never stop loving, convicting. That's just his way. By the way, I'd like to add, these men got rid of him not too much longer after he made this statement. They got rid of him. Do you know that he can at this time do this to you? Crush every plan you have. Amen. This is Jesus. Amen. Every plan you have, he can crush it. Amen. Right now. That's the kind of God I worship. Amen. I worship one that if I disobey him, if I choose to do something amiss against my brother or sister, he can immediately crush me. I love him. Amen. I beg him to crush me. Amen. See? Did you know right now that he can cause you to tremble at his awesomeness right now? Amen. He did it to Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't it beautiful when you read back in history? Nebuchadnezzar built the famous Rolling Gardens of Babylon. Stepped out on his balcony and looked out and said, oh, look. Look at what I've done. I mean, people would come from all over the world and say, man, you are just terrific. And Neb would go out there and just look at it and pat himself on the back. Boy, you are tough. God immediately gave him the spirit of a crazy man. Had him crawling around for some odd years on his hands and knees. I'm telling you, God can crush you immediately. It's the kind of Jesus I serve. Amen. Do you know also, church, that he loves you? He loves you. Just the way you are. With your sin, with your ideas, with your way, he loves you. He isn't going to cast you aside. He hasn't cast me aside. Of all people that he knows, you see, I know he knows me better than you'll ever know. He knows me better than you will ever know me. And he says, John, I know you. And that's why I love you, because you need me to love you. Because if I didn't love you, you'd be beyond yourself. And that's the way he talks to all of us, because we are really beyond ourselves. Who is this Jesus to you and to I? I'm going to tell you, church, he's the only one that really understands you. You married couples, your husband and wife doesn't understand you the way they need to or want to. Jesus understands you more than your closest friend, closest companion. He understands you because he made you. He knows what you think before you think it. And he knows how it's all going to be resolved. Who is this Jesus? He is the only one that hears your and my secret prayers. See, I can go to Jesus and talk to him right up front. Plain language, church, about anything I want to, that I wouldn't dare let you hear. That's what Jesus is to me. Who is this Jesus? He is the one who can make all things right. Because by virtue of myself, all things are what? Wrong. Because I can't do anything right of myself. That's who Jesus is. And let me close by saying this. What does Jesus require? Since we've addressed who he is the Son of God. Since he has power over us because he created us, therefore he requires something of us. And I'll end the sermon by giving you just four short points on what he requires. And I want you believers to analyze this. Have you fallen in line with the requirements? I want those of you that are not believers to analyze this in a closer sense. If you are not, you can. And if you do not, why not? Before I go into this, I want to address that because I said, why not? In John 8, you know what happened? You know why this dialogue took place? Jesus told those religious leaders that they were of their father, the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning. And I'm saying that if you are not of Jesus, you are of the devil. Now, is that uncomfortable? Do you Christians find that uncomfortable to tell your friends and family that? I hope you don't, because that kind of talk is going to get them saved. That is going to get them saved. But we as Jesus, we speak that in love. You are of your father, the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. He fathered it. And you are religious, but you are just of the devil. And Jesus is saying, I am the way. And all you have to do is come to me and say, Lord Jesus. Well, let's talk about what he requires. Number one, childlike faith. That's all he requires. Come to him as a child would come to you, adult, and say, Mommy, I don't have any more bread. Will you give me a slice? That's the way you come to Jesus. Lord, I don't have anything else. I don't have anywhere else to go, anybody else to go to. And I come to you, Lord, asking you to take my life. Childlike faith is what this Jesus requires. Second thing that he requires from us is love from your heart to God through Christ. Love from your heart, the real you. Not this surface religious man. Not this Sunday go to meeting type of Christian. Not this hallelujah on the bus. But when you get off the bus, you want to bust somebody. No. Love from your heart to God through Christ, because Christ is the mediator. That's what he requires, love. Do. But Christ can make that easy. The third point that he asks us to do as we look at this, who is this Jesus? And as we look at what this Jesus requires of us, is repentance. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. I'm not going to name your sins. My sins, we know what they are, don't we? Each of us in this room know where we fall short. Believer, we know where we're falling short. We know it. And the same Jesus requires repentance. Now, we know that it means turning directions, but I'm going to say this to you today. You know what repentance is? Repentance is forgetting your mind and seeking God's. Now, you think about that. Repentance is forgetting your mind. Your mindset. Let me go back. I was 23 years old when I became a Christian. And for 23 years, I did it whose way? Mine. See? Mine. And then when I was 23 years old and I came to Christ, I said, Christ, you take the way. You are the way. You are the truth. And so repentance is me forgetting myself and looking to Christ. That's the requirement. A turning from sin and a turning towards Jesus. A belief that all that you've heard can happen in you now. That's what repentance is. I believe that what I've heard can happen. Therefore, I turn from myself and I turn to Christ and ask him to do it. That is what Jesus requires. That is the basis of my belief. If I do anything less than that, I am none of his. Now, I don't mean that when you go shopping, you got to ask Jesus what color the shirt should be. I know some religious people like that. You know, entering prayer in the supermarket. What brand cornflakes should I get, Lord? Well, the whole tray ought to fall on your head. Because the Lord is not concerned about that. Well, Lord, which way should I drive to work? Let the Holy Ghost lead. Now, that sounds comical, but I'm telling you, that's the way some people think. You got to repent of that attitude. Repentance means, Lord, I have a sense that I'm failing you.
Now, right there, I stopped the message because you've already picked it up. My conclusions are, My advice is don't do that. If you say you're going to conclude, guess what you should do? Conclude. I could have given those 4 points very easy and said, this, that, and that's it. But remember, that was 1985. I had only been preaching for 3 years. And I'm not a perfect preacher. Thank you for setting in on the first homiletical lesson, listening to a sermon. I will be presenting, Lord willing, lessons, lectures and Bible studies and things like that. We'll be doing the same thing. I would love to hear from you. I'd like to know your thoughts about what you think about this. Has it helped you? Has it assisted you? Especially those of you that are pastors, our preachers, our Bible study leaders, or whatnot. Give me some suggestions on other things that you would like me to do. This was a topical analysis sermon. I started off with a particular scripture, John 8:48-53, and I jumped around in all the other scriptures to make my point. So you want to know the difference between topical, expositional, and biographical sermons and all those kinds of things. And of course, I'll be going to my homiletical outlines and bringing you some of those things. And so it'll just be called homiletics. I'm working it out as I put this together. God bless you. Thank you for coming to the site. This is Pastor John. Whatever you do, stay in the Word. My time is up. Bye-bye.